Good morning. I'm calling the Senate Education Committee to order at 8 a.m. and today is Friday, February 24th. And today we have present Senator Stevens. Good morning.
Good morning.
And myself, Chair Hughes, and we have a couple members at another meeting and one that's going to be absent, so we'll welcome those when they come in. I'd like to thank those assisting us. I'd like to remind us all the proper etiquette with cell phones, and just remind you, and here's Senator Coghill. Welcome. And as I've indicated before, I am excited about what we're going to hear today. We're going to have students from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and these students will explain to us how virtual education has affected their education experience in Kenai, learn a little bit about what they're doing and how it works for them, and then we'll have some time to ask them questions. And I want to thank Tim Benizak, who's helped us with our technology, and also my staff, Joshua Banks. Looks like we have a nice sharp pictures and can see the students. So we'll look forward to that. And then afterwards, we're going to do something unique. We're going to open the phones for public testimony to hear from the consumers of education. And some folks have been so excited about that, they've contacted my office in advance, and so we have put those folks at the top of the list to make sure that we'll have a chance to hear from them and then take the other callers on the line. So with that, I'm going to invite the Kenai students, and I believe it's Rob Sparks? Joshua, yes, Rob Sparks and Greg Zorbas in Soldotna. If you would introduce yourself, state your name for the record, and as students, as you speak, good morning, by the way. We're happy to have you join us here in the state capitol. As students or as any of you speak, if you could please state your name, that helps the secretary and those that are listening online. So go ahead, Rob and Greg, and take it away.
I will start. My name is Rob Sparks, and I am the teacher at Soldotna Prep. I happen to be in Anchorage today at the State Cross Country Ski Meet, and my students are prepared to do their presentation. And this is just another example of how this technology can be used in the educational world in terms of being able to be in your classroom remotely, et cetera. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And I'm Greg Zorbas here in Kenai. We have some guests here as well to do this, and there have been so many unattended outcomes of the use of this technology. It's just been wonderful. Senator, our students are used to a protocol where we only use our first names. Is that going to be okay for you when they introduce themselves?
The secretary is giving me the nod. That would be fine.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start, and I'm going to share content so you guys can see the presentation, and Mr. Sparks and I will do a little intro, and then they'll get going. We'll just double check that you guys are seeing the content.
We are, thank you.
And so we were in Juneau a couple of weeks ago.
Rob, could you please state your name?
Oh, yep, this is Rob Sparks again from Soldotna Prep, and we were in Juneau a couple of weeks ago and had the opportunity to demonstrate what we do with video conferencing in our classrooms and was asked if we could present. So what we do is our students do the presentations, et cetera. Mr. Zorbas and I are here to facilitate a little bit, but this is a student-led presentation. They created the slideshow. They came up with the talking points, and they will do the presentation. So hopefully you don't hear a whole lot more from me, as this is the way we do it.
Rob, could you speak just a little bit louder? We're hearing you, but I just requested that the volume be turned up, and I understand it's as loud as it can go. So if you could speak up, that would be helpful.
Okay. I will do that when I speak up again. Thank you.
Hey, this is Greg Zorbas again in Kenai, and I just want to say that I'll echo what Rob said as far as this presentation goes. As soon as we got back from Juneau, we were so excited about the response we got from Mr. Banks that we immediately just set the kids in motion to put this presentation together. And with very little help from us, this is really a presentation that was driven by them and their experiences. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to them, and let's keep going, you guys.
Hi, I'm Kylie, and this is going to be about our unique differences, I guess that's a more broad perspective. So we get to meet new people and learn about the cultures and perspective on the world. Hi, I'm Olivia, and we also get to hear other people's opinions about their cultures from their point of view. Hi, I'm Kylie again, and we don't just talk to them, but we get to see them face to face. I'm Olivia. We also learn the geography around the world. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lexi.
Hi, I'm Maya.
So differences cultures really helps us. It shows us how to respect others and beliefs when we present to them.
We have learned how to be sensitive and respect other cultures and their beliefs when they are presenting to us about their culture or about their beliefs, and how to show respect.
So when they show respect to us, it means a lot because it means they actually view our opinions and what we have to say to them. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Maya again, and by learning about other cultures when we have met with them, it just really opened our perspective on how well we have it in America, and we just see how other countries suffer in ways that we probably will never have to worry about, and that's all. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Olivia, and we do lots of hands-on working in our classes. We do, in both Mrs. Sparks and Mrs. Robich's class, we collaborate and do lots of research projects, especially on the people who we are about to have a guest speaker with. We also play a Ghana game, which is the objective of this game is to learn about the different cultures and is a hands-on, fun, interactive learning game. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Denali, and we use Kahoot for tests, and it's a fun learning game also. And we also have our VCC protocols, like standing up, looking at the camera, speaking loud, and saying thank you when we're done. Thank you.
And, hey, this is Mr. Zorbas again. You guys in the audience, senators, if you would please know that the students are going to ask you to participate in a Kahoot at the end of the presentation. I just thought I'd give you a little warning there.
Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kylie, and this is about applied communication. So both Mr. Sparks and Mr. Zorbas are in two schools, but they teach as one teacher, which gives us more information and knowledge for the future. Hi, I'm Olivia, and in our class, we learned that it was important to be engaged. So we learned that every time we are done talking with a speaker or someone who is talking, we make sure to ask them any questions. We use active listening in this class, which means when we have a guest speaker or an interpreter speaking, we are always thinking of questions, and we ask questions at the end. Thank you.
Hello, my name is George. So video conferencing allows cross-curriculum, which is like language arts and history. It allows them to combine and just make an overall their educational experience. One of my favorite parts of video conferences is age groups. I love little kids, and I love doing video conferencing with them because it makes it so fun and so unique. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marcellus. And the Ghana game is about us playing a fun interaction with Ghana. It starts by a location. We are the ones, Ghana is trying to find the location in Alaska. We have to find the location in the native group and what they're unique about. Thank you.
Hi,
Could you repeat your name, please? There was a little bit of interference, and we didn't catch your name.
Marcellus.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wally. To me, the Ghana game is 10 times better than any game because it's super fun and creative. You pick a place. If you're in Alaska, pick a place, like Aleutian Island. Find out what the natives are famous for, and it's cool finding out different cultures. Thank you.
Madam Chair, could I interrupt for a second?
We have a question. If you'd just pause the presentation for a moment. Senator Coghill.
No, the question is, I wonder if we have the slides in front of us, but we haven't been able to see clearly the students standing up. That's much better if we can get the full picture, because I just haven't been able to identify the students standing, that's all. So I see we have them on a full screen now, and I would prefer that, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Yes, let's leave the full screen of the classroom, please. Thank you.
Okay. Turn smart board on. Give us just a second to regroup here so the kids, this is Mr. Zorbas, give us a second so the kids can regroup here and have a presentation that they can see too as well so they know where we're at. In the meantime, if you guys want to get your handheld devices out and go to Kahoot.it, you can get ready with that while they're getting this up. And also, if you could look at Padlet, there was a link sent to you guys for a Padlet that you could participate in as well.
Oh, I'm on our phones. Okay. If you, senators, if you have your smartphones or your devices, are we supposed to go to the Kahoot one? Kahoot.it/number/. So you have a note there on the table. So.
Okay, we're on. We are good examples. What are good examples of student engagement and collaboration? Slide. Yeah, there you go. Go to present mode. Hey, SoPrep, do you guys have the presentation up? Okay, I saw the thumbs up. Okay, we're ready to resume again. We'll leave the video at full screen. I appreciate the senator that asked, Senator Coghill asking us to go full screen video because it's really something that we actually prefer to do, but so thank you for that. And let's go with what are good examples of student engagement.
So, hi, I'm Mark Ellis, and good engagement is collaborating with our partners in GNI and getting in virtual teams and projects. We like to also communicate back and forth to work on our slides or our work.
Excuse me, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. Can we go back? Can we zoom in and just see the classroom, please?
Senator Hughes, what are you seeing right now?
Right now we see three screens, two classrooms, and Mr. Sparks.
Okay, it should automatically switch. After each of our students speaks for a few minutes, it should engage to a closer up one screenshot of just that student.
Okay, thank you. We'll be patient.
So, hi, I'm Marcellus again, and we also like to play games like Kahoot and the Ghana game, which we already talked about, and we like to meet and greet presentations with other people around the world. Thank you.
Okay, so our timing's a little late.
Hi, I'm Courtney.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
So Padlet is an excellent online resource to allow people to voice their opinion and get engaged in the class. Thank you.
So Padlet, you can post a question on Padlet, and anybody who has sent the email can post any opinion that they have on it, and everyone can see it. and you can, the person in control of it can arrange it in any way they want, and you can see the names of the people who commented, so you can see who has the opinion, see if you agree with them or not, and it's a good way to get classes together and talking about a certain subject that you have. Thank you.
Okay, so this is Mr. Zorbas. The students, if you guys could go to that Padlet link, which was, I think it was emailed, Mr. Banks, I think might have emailed it to the committee members. If not, it's there. If you guys, and it doesn't have to happen today, but maybe after the meeting, if you could go to that Padlet, and if you could tell us what you think an innovative classroom looks like, we would certainly appreciate that. And like they said, this is one very good opportunity to get feedback and post things for everybody to see. So if you guys, if the committee could do that for us, that would be great at some point. And we'll take a look at it throughout the rest of the time we have and see if anybody's posted anything. Thank you.
And I'm just going to comment, if anyone's watching us online and you see senators sitting playing on their phones, we are actually participating. we are paying attention, so it's part of the presentation. Go ahead and proceed.
Absolutely, that's great.
And again, Kahoot, the online game, history for various education purposes. It allows several people from different locations to play. And it can also help with getting everyone involved while they're having fun. Our classes created a short game that you can participate in if you go to Kahoot.it on a web browser. Thank you.
So if we're going to Kahoot, should we be on the app that it invited us to download? Do we need to download that application? That's where it sent me.
You realize we're coming from two different centuries.
Aren't you muted?
this is Rob Sparks again. When you go to Kahoot, it should ask you to enter a game and ask for a game code, and we would activate that and send you the numbers.
Okay, I have the application open, and it is asking for a game pin. Do you have the game pin that you can give us?
As soon as we start the game, then the pin will come up, and we'll be able to give it to you. So as long as you're at that on that slide that says enter game pin, you're in the right place. And as soon as we start the Kahoot game, it generates the number at that moment, and then we'll be able to type in, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
So this is Mr. Zorbas again, Senator Hughes. So at the end of the presentation, we'll give you that game code to include the act to be ready for the activity. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Liz, and the way we show better communication in our video calls is we listen and we build on to each other's ideas and we build each other's confidence and understanding. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and with video conferencing technology, we know how video conferencing can be used in various fields. For instance, we had a video connection yesterday with Janet Major in telehealth, and last week we had a video conferencing appointment thing with Hannah Young, a movie and television producer, and a few weeks ago we video conferenced with Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Dusick, the superintendent and assistant superintendent of the school district. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and we work well in groups and group settings. For example, we have been in groups for a week working on this presentation, and we have practiced what we were going to say. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Renee, and by having this class, we are able to use our skills and understand like the video conferencing etiquette, such as when you speak, speaking loud and clear so everyone can hear you. Standing up straight when you're talking and when other people are talking, making sure to stay quiet and limit the background noise. Thank you.
I'm the Saskia, and we've had the opportunity to conference with many different people and cultures around the globe. Doing stuff like this will easily engage with students. Thank you.
Hi, it's Liz again, and we save money when we meet with others around the world by video conferencing, so we don't have to pay for all the plane tickets, hotel tickets, and all the gas and rental cars. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melanie again, and colleges and jobs will be more interested in the students that have taken this course because it is very unique, and not a lot of schools offer it. And with this course, we have gained better communication skills, and we are working better with others. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, and we have learned different cultures, such as Ghana, Ramallah, Palestine, Denmark, and about our cultures, too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Renee, and with this class, we are able to hear first-person perspective and learn other people's views and hear from people not just in Alaska or the United States, but anywhere. And we are able to hear and understand other people's perspectives and their personal experiences in certain subjects. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Natasha. No other class has given us students the opportunity to hear first-person point of views, and an example of this is Mr. Sparks and Mr. Zorbas set us up with a conference with Terry Godwall and a bunch of other people around Canada, and we talked about International Day of a Girl Child and learned about how women in places similar to Nepal are treated inhumanely. Thank you.
I'm going to interrupt just for a moment to let you know that Senator Kathy Geisel has joined us. Welcome, Senator. Continue.
Okay, this is Mr. Zorbas and Kenai. That's the end of the actual presentation. I am gonna share content again, Senator, so that you guys can see the Kahoot info, and we'll do the Kahoot real quick, and then hopefully you have time for some questions. Thank you. Okay, so there's your game pen. Any of the guests can.
So any of you sitting here in the audience, or I suppose anybody that is watching anywhere, could participate. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
That is correct. I think we can guess who that might be.
Remember now, there is a warning about nicknames.
I'm not going to use the nickname that my older brothers called me. I know that.
We know
who that is. Okay, for sake of time, if I cut somebody off, this is Mr. Zorbas and Kenai again. If I cut somebody off, I apologize, but I think for the sake of time, I want to start. So here we go.
We're not sure what we see, a triangle and a diamond.
Without any dialogue.
Without any question.
All right, so hedgehog, principal. Ooh, sparse class is playing too. What are some of the benefits of video conferencing in the education industry?
So we can't read the
we have
questions.
Look. We have to look on that screen.
Oh. Whoa. So. Are they not able to see?
Yes, sorry about that. We're not able to read. We're not able to read the questions, so most of us are so old, trifocals don't go that far.
I'll make sure and read the next question.
And are we allowed to choose more than one? That looked like needed more than one answer on that last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the next question is, how can students benefit from VTC in the classroom?
I don't know about anybody else, but I got it correct.
I think this is, no matter what we say, we're correct, it looks like.
Yeah.
And question four, what can people use to video conference with others? Fields is holding strong in the lead. Okay, last question, you guys. Students are more engaged and learning becomes more relevant in a VTC classroom. True or false?
Can they take away our high school diplomas?
I'm glad they're asking easy questions.
So that gives you just a little bit of an indication of an activity, and the answers on most of that one, all the answers were correct. We were using it more as a review of what we were doing there, but we just wanted to demonstrate how classrooms from different areas could participate, for example, in a game format such as this. So I think in conclusion, one of the things that Mr. Zorbas and I wanted to add in, that we were at the ASTE, the Alaska Society for Technology and Education conference in Anchorage this weekend, and the overwhelming response from most people of facing some of our difficulties is we have to share resources. And one of the ways of sharing resources, we believe, is by allowing students from across the state to share classrooms and take classes where they need to. While we were there, both Mr. Zorbas and I said, if you have any student in your district that wants to take an Alaska Studies class in my room, they can join my room next year. If you want to take a world history class and be in Mr. Zorbas' room, you can sign up and take a world history class from there. We had several rural educators that were very interested in that, and we also want to say that Bristol Bay, Kodiak, our district, we've been doing a lot of video conferencing and classroom engagement for a number of years, so it's already happening in the state. What we're trying to do is to find ways to expand it and provide opportunity, and I know the Education Committee has heard some of the other ways that other states are doing this, and we just wanted to show you the value of what we believe is a virtual learning platform that is very effective and engaging, which is using video for classrooms to join together. Thank you. Mr. Zorbas?
Yeah, just synchronously. We realize that there's a connection and there's a need for both types of online distance education, but we are promoting still having a teacher synchronously and giving all the kids in Alaska the opportunity to learn from teachers in a synchronous environment. So With that, I think the students are expecting some questions from the committee. If you guys have some questions, we'd love to answer some. Thank you.
Committee members. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it's very impressive to hear what you're doing about listening and listening intently and being involved and knowing what's going on in your community and among people. Just a question of you. I think you're really dealing with a lot of education and what it means to be a citizen and what it means to be involved in civics education. Do any of you plan to be voters when you're old enough to vote?
Mr. Zorbas, do you want to call on students to respond? I think we'd like to hear from the students on that question. Did you hear the question?
Yes, Senator. We've got some students that can answer that question. Go ahead. Olivia? Are you going to be a voter?
Yeah. Yes, when I turn 18, I plan on voting. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Does anyone else want to respond to that question?
Hi, I'm Olivia, and yes, I also plan on voting when I'm 18. Thank you.
Thank you for your response. I have a question, and a student could answer this, or the teacher. I'm wondering whether you have microphones there. I was wondering about that, and what physically in the classroom is different than another type of... You're all looking at one screen. You don't have individual devices, so is that normally how it's set up? Can you just talk about the classroom and the physical aspects of it, what you have there to make this work?
Through the chair. Hi, my name is Olivia, and typically in a classroom where we use video conferencing, we have two TVs and two cameras. We have one camera in the front and one camera in the back, and then we have one microphone hanging from the ceiling. And then sometimes we'll have a smart board so we can have content, so we can still see people like we're doing now. Sometimes we'll have one microphone that's hooked to a cord that we can have on a desk, but we got these really cool microphones that hang from the ceiling that are a lot nicer, so we can use a remote to mute them, and we don't have to, like, be messing around with one that's on the desk that you can accidentally bump into, or that you have to be pressing with your hand, because then you're disrupting people, or you're distracting people when you're moving around, so it's really nice.
And you don't have to trip over wires, which I think is nice. Do we have another...
Everybody in the Soldotnik classroom, would you explain to them sometimes how we do get our laptops out and how you do get into small groups so that... Thank you, Olivia. Go ahead.
And that's Rob Sparks speaking, Secretary.
We also get our laptops, and we use that on... They have cameras on our laptops, and we can use either Skype for Business or Polycom. But the Polycom is for the big two TVs that we have. And... In the laptops that we use, there are microphones, but if you are close to someone, then we have to use headphones that we have. And the headphones that we have a special microphone that are connected to the headphones. Thank you.
We have another question. I have a question. There was a PowerPoint slide, one of the screens that showed responses of students. It was a map of the world with responses connected to different countries. Was that actually from one of your classrooms where you had people in all those different classrooms, countries participating in your class?
Hi, my name is Ashley. And the PowerPoint I'm thinking you're talking about is the Padlet slide, and you can make it set up so you can do it with people all over the world, but we've just done it in a classroom setting. And those pictures were just examples of what it would look like if you posted comments onto the site.
answering the question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Hughes, this is Mr. Zorbas. While you guys ask another question, I will pull up a slide for you that will show you which and where these students connected with all over the world. Just give me a second while you guys ask another question, and then I'll show you a slide that from another presentation that they've done that could answer that question.
Senator Coghill has a question.
First of all, I just wanted to thank all the students and the teachers for putting on a demonstration. I think it's gone very well. It's also good for us to see you have to do some of the communication styles. It's unusual for all of us in many ways. So maybe somebody could stand up and talk about the protocol issues that you have outlined and how that helps with either learning or how it frustrates learning. For example, having to speak and then wait for some responses, or being able to deal with the switching of screens, which we have been able to at least see firsthand. So what are some of the better parts, and what are some of the challenging parts of that?
Hi, I'm Olivia. We do have some challenges sometimes with when we connect with other people. Sometimes it'll be really glitchy. And sometimes we won't even be able to connect with them because of the difficulties of getting to them, I guess. And I think the good parts that we have are actually having good quality in the video and having really great vocal hearing, I guess. thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess I would ask, do you think the advantages outweigh the challenges? Olivia, would you like to follow up with that? That you just spoke, because there are challenges, but then there are advantages. Do you think it's worth it?
Sometimes it is, because we get an extra day of practicing what we're going to say, because we usually do end up talking with them, the people we do not get to connect with, so we get another day to practice what we're going to say.
And I guess I would ask the... I would ask the same question of Mr. Zorbas, the teacher, as far as the challenges versus the advantages.
Senator Hughes, sorry. Olivia, that was such a great answer. I love the fact that a delay gets you an extra day to practice what you're supposed to do. That is so cool. You know, Senator, we've been doing this for 10 or 11, 12 years, and the advantages far outweigh the difficulties, and I mean it is just so enriching, and the things that these kids have been involved in and progressed throughout the years is amazing, and the difficulties are far and few between now compared to what they were 10 years ago, and Mr. Sparks and I have both grown to learn and develop and understand how to problem solve, but also it takes great IT people, and we have one of the best in Casey Olson in our district, and by far he pulls us out of so many jams and things. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I have the floor right now and switch to content for just a second just to show you, because I think it's worth seeing. This is a map of all of the places that we connected with first semester and that these students participated in.
Wow.
It's impressive. Thank you for pulling that up. Well, with that, I'm sure we could continue conversation with you, but we do have public testimony, and we do have people waiting to speak. So thank you so much, students, and Mr. Zorbas and Mr. Sparks. We have really appreciated your taking the time and the preparation that you put into getting ready for this today. We thank you. you mentioned, one student stood up and mentioned the different people that you'd communicated with and held video teleconferencing with, so now you can add the Senate Education Committee to that list. So thank you very much. And now we're going to open up public testimony, and this is for what I've called and what we've called the consumers of education. We often in the Education Committee here, and we should, from educators, from administrators across the state, and from experts in the field of education. But all of us throughout the state are impacted by the education system that we have in Alaska. So we wanted to open up the opportunity for consumers to weigh in. We've had a series of exploratory hearings on virtual education and whether that might be something we should promote in the state and what potential it might have. Could we improve the quality of what we're offering to students? Could we give students greater access to great teachers? And so that's been something we've been exploring. And so we're inviting consumers to weigh in, and that would be students, that would be parents, that would be business owners, that would be leaders of organizations such as tribal organizations. We want to hear from communities throughout the state. And if you're someone that's watching this maybe delayed or hearing about this after the fact, we welcome written testimony as well on this topic. So the question is virtual education something that you think would be good for students and that we should advance? This is not public testimony on education funding, so we're not inviting people to tell us what to do about the formula or the BSA. This is really on the topic of virtual education and the potential for our state. So the first person that we have is Amy Eakin with the Northwest Arctic Borough School District. And if you could identify yourself and also tell us what aspect, are you a consumer, are you a parent, are you a student, a community member, just tell us a little bit about what role you play as a consumer. So, Amy, if you could state your name and your role as a consumer for the record, please.
Madam Chair?
Yes, we hear you. Go ahead.
Madam Chair and members of the Senate Education Committee, this is Dr. Anne Marie O'Brien, a superintendent of the Northwest Arctic Borough School District, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the Northwest Arctic Borough School District. We have here in the legislative office this morning our Director of Technology and a parent, Amy Eakin, and one of our high school students, Kiana Norton, and they will be discussing the question you have poised to the community. Thank you.
Chair Senator Hughes in the Senate Education Committee, this is Amy Eakin. Thank you for your time this morning. I have lived in the Northwest Arctic region since 1997 and have experienced the education evolution of chalkboards and overheads to our now Ultra HD smart boards, internet, and the ability to connect globally. I have raised 6 children in this region, and their personal education has been greatly broadened by virtual education, allowing them to take such courses as sociology, psychology, and music appreciation. Even though our school district is quite small and we don't have the staff on hand. We also provide district-wide courses through BTC that allow our teachers with specialties across our region to offer those courses and opportunities that would otherwise be unavailable. We offer courses that range from bilingual programs to trigonometry. I wholeheartedly agree that virtual education is something that should be grown to allow our students to have access to a broader range of experiences and people. So I'm going to hand this over to Kiana Norton. She is a senior here at Kotzebue Middle High School who has also experienced virtual education.
Thank you, Amy.
This is Kiana. Having online or virtual education is a great benefit in school. It allows students to take classes through VTC or online courses like APEX that may not be offered normally at their school. I personally like this because it allows me to take a Japanese language class that is not offered at my school. On top of that, having APEX classes available gives the rigid class schedules a little more flexibility. In most cases, especially in smaller schools, required classes are only available in one period. For example, health is only available second hour at my school, but archery is only available that hour as well.
normally I would just have to take the health class because it is required, required regardless of how much I would have wanted to take archery. However, with the option of online classes, I can do an Apex health class during a different hour and free up second hour for a class I actually want to take, archery. Virtual and online classes are also nice because it allows you to complete them at your own pace. In regular classes, the pace can be too fast or even too slow for some students. That is great if you learn better by being given the material and allowed to work on your own by yourself. Assignments are also all listed online, so if you happen to get sick, then you can still get that day's work done from home. The only problem I see with online and virtual education is that if you do not have an internet connection, then you can't do your work.
Thank you for that, Kiana, very much. And next we'll move to Trevor Shaw, who is here in the room, and he is a graduate from Ketchikan High School. Welcome, Trevor, if you'd state your name and your role now as a consumer.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Share your testimony.
Members of the committee, my role is actually as a former student. I'm currently serve as the president of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District Board of Education, and just like to talk about that for a minute. When I was a senior in high school, I was actually, up until I was a junior and a senior, I was actually homeschooled through the local correspondence homeschool support program called Fast Track in the Ketchikan School District. And so I started taking virtual classes through the Ketchikan School District through Fast Track when I was a junior and up until when I was a senior. And when I was a senior in high school, I ran for the school board at the time, my big goal being to support all methods of education, understanding the fact that education is not just brick-and-mortar schools, but there are so many more important aspects to that. Being able to support a system of education that promotes an individualized, personalized form of education is what I wanted to support. And looking back and having taken those virtual classes, it allowed me the time management to be able to shape the education, my education, in the way I needed to allow me to be able to pursue that public service that I wanted to participate in. And so we have Fast Track now. We have about 65 students in our school district who are taking classes through Fast Track, whether they're full-time homeschool students or students in Ketchikan High School taking online classes through that program. And through a digital technology grant from the state of Alaska, we actually developed the Alaska Digital Academy, and we're providing some of those virtual courses to other school districts. And so, and that's kind of my take as a consumer is, like I said, education is so much more than just one aspect. And moving forward, as we face our budget crisis and we face the aspects of sustainable, efficient education in the state of Alaska, we have to look at all the various methods, because the way to be successful is to provide students and parents the opportunity to take control of their education, their students' education, to build it in a way that works best for them. Not all students are the same. The cookie-cutter style of education really doesn't work, and promoting success is what creates an adult, an individual who is able to not only be successful in their education, but the entrance into society and culture afterwards, and to be able to take their life and their career in a direction that they want to early on in high school is extremely important, and throughout their entire K-12 career. And so being able to kind of shape that education in a way that benefits them in a way they want to build their own life is important, because if you're able to do the things that you're interested in and able to do the things that you love, you generally are more successful and more involved in what you're doing. And so the aspects of virtual education, it does require self-motivation, it does require cooperation, collaboration with teachers, parents, in order to make sure that you are getting the work done, and you can pace it at your own pace, but that there's still the accountability aspects of that, and we're able to meet those. And so I think virtual education moving forward is going to be a very important part of education in the state of Alaska, especially as we determine the way to maintain a sustainable, efficient education system, one that works well for all students in a way that they can build their education in a way that suits them personally so they can be successful.
Thank you very much, Robert, for your testimony. And
Senator Hughes, excuse me.
Yes?
Mr. Zorbs, I realize I'm probably breaking the rules here, but can I just ask you if we have two parents in our room that would like to testify while they're on video? Is that on your agenda?
We will do that next. Thank you. I did have them on the list. So we have a Summer Lazenby. Are you there? And introduce and tell us your role as a consumer and testimony.
Oh, I'm Summer Lazenby. I am the Director of Educational Operations at the Challenger Learning Center, but I'm also a mother, and I'm here representing the parental side of the perspective. My daughter graduated out of this high school a couple years ago. She had the opportunity to participate in BTC with Mr. Zorbas' class, and it was a very enlightening opportunity for her and all the students involved. They connected with Yemen. And, as an Alaska student, we're pretty isolated up here, and having the option of BTC really broadens the opportunities for Alaska youth. Not easy to get a teenager out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, but she got up, she came into school with a smile on her face because she was really excited to participate in that. And in talking to her in the last couple days, she said, it gave me the opportunity to go one-on-one with other students and hear the student perspective. It wasn't filtered through a textbook or historical perspective or any adult. It was an opportunity for student to student to see another culture and to see a situation within the world. She talked about it being one of the most positive aspects of her high school career, which I think speaks a lot to BTC. The other component of that is that it also improves those soft skills. Textbooks are great, and of course you have to have all of those academic components, but one of the things employers are talking about as we move forward is the soft skills that students aren't necessarily exiting high school with. Communication, teamwork. You talked about, somebody mentioned having to work through technical issues. That's real life. And the students that are participating in BTC get an opportunity to practice that. So I just want to state that BTC is, you can't measure the impact it's going to have in students. And looking forward to the future, this is what students of today are going to be dealing with and having to utilize tomorrow. And so it's one of those things that it really is an absolute requirement, in my opinion, to be within school districts. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Summer. And Alicia Marlowe?
Hi, I'm Alicia Marlowe. I'm also a parent of one of the students in Mr. Zorbas' BTC. My daughter, Natalie, has been participating in the program for 3 years. And my grandpa was a pioneer here in Alaska, came up before statehood, was a homesteader, began a road building company that actually ran utilities from this high school out toward the edge of town and has built a lot of the road infrastructure in this area. My dad spent his career also working in that same way, building infrastructure in roads. And I just think it's neat how here, two generations later, my dad, my mom, having graduated from this high school, here's my daughter also being able to be involved in a pioneering type effort through this BTC program, kind of the new road of education, carrying it out, making connections within the state in a new way. I think it's an intrinsically motivating form of education, which is something as educators you recognize as being really important when the kids are able to have an inquiry-based pursuit of research and pursuing information that's relevant to them that satisfies their curiosities. So it's really a way for students to be able to craft a personal education experience that's personally meaningful to them and then motivating them onto their further educational pursuits. I'm a UAA student myself right now pursuing my education degree,
and I've had quite a few classes using BTC and synchronous online meetings. I do that this semester 3 times a week. And one of my classes is comparative education. The professor has been extremely interested to hear about my daughter's involvement in this class, and we've gotten to talk about how that's following trends of globalization in education and citizens reaching out across borders to share educational experiences. And so we've all just been really excited about how this program is bringing that to the high school level. And lastly, I just want to say that I think students' involvement in this format is really preparing them if they want to enter the university system within Alaska, as so many classes are using this type of technology in order to make it make sense economically, to be able to fill classes with students wanting to enroll from Southeast, from Fairbanks. And then, of course, we do have students that meet with us from outside the state. And so I can see how it would have an economic benefit as well as offering that variety. Anyway, thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you, Alicia. And next we will move off-net. We have Grace Peterson.
Authentic relationships, but it won't impact me.
Grace Peterson, are you online?
Hi, this is Monica Goyette with the Matthew Borough School District, and we're very excited to be introducing a parent and a student this morning. They're going to help paint a picture for you about how virtual online can meet such a diverse group of needs and really a location for students. So with that, I'm just going to hand it right over to our parent, Jeanette Perdue.
Thank you, Monica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jeanette Perdue, and I'm here today to share with you some of my very vast experiences with the online learning world that I've gathered over time as a parent, as a teacher, and as an aunt. I'm a mother of two and an aunt of 12 who all of them have taken advantage of virtual courses and online learning. I'm part of a large family. I like to say I'm very ordinary, but I've seen a lot of extraordinary things happen because of the opportunities afforded to my family through online learning. I have a niece in the Anchorage School District that has had lead roles at both the Alaska Junior Theater and at the PAC. And these opportunities have happened because she has had the opportunity to take online courses. She could adjust her schedule to meet the demands of a leading role in a large performance. All of this would not have been possible without a good mentor teacher and the human contact that is a must with online learning. I have nephews who are high school and college graduates with 4.0 GPAs who have taken advantage of online courses. They've also been able to fulfill their dreams of playing college football. They said that they are glad they had chances and still have chances to take online courses in high school because they had to use the same skills in college. These are very, very high-achieving students who have been able to continue to propel themselves to the next level because of online learning in conjunction only with great mentoring and great teachers. If they did not have the human contact available for mentoring, they would not have been as successful as they are. They always have a teacher to talk to message. They could pick up the phone and talk and call the teacher if they needed to. There are so many reasons why online learning is necessary in our educational world today. And I can say all this with another hat also. I haven't even talked about being a teacher, and just for a moment, a very small moment, I will. When the month of May catches up with us in high schools all over America, but especially in Alaska, we many times find students in a fast downward spiral. And they're not quite prepared to graduate, unfortunately. If we just go and assign them an online course and plop them in there, it will not work. It will not help. We have to give, and they have to be offered human contact, connection, relationships. Without this, my own children would not have been successful, and my 12 nieces and nephews would not be successful either. They have to feel the love and compassion of an adult. They have to make connections. I've made that connection many, many times through my career and as a mom with my own children's friends and help pull them up by their bootstraps and get them involved in an online course and mentor for them on the side as a friend. The variety of classes available that my son was able to take, we don't offer multicultural studies. He was able to take that. He loved it. Some other theater theory classes and music theory classes my nieces and nephews have participated in have helped them in their goals and their love for the arts. AP government, we don't have that available right now, and my niece was able to take that and be very successful in it. As a mother, my daughter took courses to help her graduate early. She wanted to be done at Christmas so she could get out and get to work and have a larger paycheck than what she was getting at Dairy Queen. I can also say my son has taken several classes, and his quotes are his words. These are his words, not mine. I can do this on my own time. I can work at midnight on my online course if I want. And the biggest thing is I don't have to live by a bell. I'm not restricted to a bell schedule that tells me where to go and what to do. And as a mom, he is mature enough to handle his own timeline, and I want him to have pitfalls and failures with time management as well as have success, and I don't want him to be living by a bell schedule. He wants to leave school to go to work earlier in the day, or he wants to get done with school and be mentally prepared for practice that evening. He takes online classes so that he can be in control. But if he did not have a connection with an online teacher, if he was not able to communicate that with them, if he didn't have the love and support of adults in his life, it would not have been possible, and he wouldn't be the young man he is right now. I guess what I'm saying is that by using online learning, our school district is doing a great justice to all of our students. We are filling many, many shoes, but it cannot happen without the involvement of loving, caring adults in the online learning process. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette. And Grace, are you there?
Yeah. Hi.
State your name for the record.
I'm a senior here in Wasilla. And since my sophomore year, I've been taking a few APEX classes. So I've been taking computer classes. And it's taught me a lot. Like, I really, really enjoy them. In the beginning, sometimes I would fall behind, and then I'd have to be responsible to catch up. And so it really gives you a lot more independence, and with that comes a lot of responsibility. So I have taken, I think, 4 APEX classes, and I also took a class with BYU. I took Alaska History this year because last year I went on exchange, so I was gone all year. So my sophomore year I had to catch up. I had to prepare a bit in advance, and I took some APEX classes, and that really helped me prepare to be gone for a year. But now that I've come back, I had a full schedule in my first semester, and I just found that didn't really work for me anymore, and I wanted to do something different. So I opted out of 2 normal classes, and I took 2 computer classes, and it worked really, really extremely well for me. And I took Alaska History, so I went out of a classroom for that, and it's just nice to not sit in the classroom from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. and to get out and go sit in the common area of the school and just work by yourself and, like, not be in a classroom setting. I found that really helpful for me. And also, it does offer a lot of classes that you can't take otherwise. Like, if you want to graduate early, you can take extra classes. My sister wanted to take French class, so she was able to take it online, and I just found a lot of benefits. There's a lot of students at my school that prefer to be in the common area of the school for part of the day. So a majority of the juniors and seniors at my school are now taking some online classes. And it is entirely up to the student to, you know, to get good grades and stuff. And with the teachers, you just have to, you can email them and you form a relationship and a bond and stuff. And I really enjoy it because they always email you back and they have, like, with what they think of your assignments and stuff, and they help you, like, realize what you did wrong, and
give their input and stuff just as much as any normal teacher would, and it is a lot more personal. Like, it is just one-on-one with the teacher, it feels like, so I've really enjoyed that. And, yeah, without taking online classes, I think I would be extremely stressed out this year, and, you know, just sitting in a classroom doesn't work for a lot of students, I feel like, all the time, so.
Thank you very much, Grace, and I see Mr. Olatek. I know he was someone who notified us earlier, and he's dropped off the line. He was with Chalista Corporation, so we'll see if we can get written testimony. He probably had to get off, and we're going to go into the room with Gretchen Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Mitchell. I'm a sophomore at West High School in Anchorage, and I just wanted to share my experience with technology in the classroom. So my teachers oftentimes use technology to enhance learning, but I feel that there still has to be a teacher in the room, since otherwise I personally don't feel motivated to do well in the class, and the teachers only use the technology to an extent to where it will do what it can to help our learning. So in English, we do Kahoots sometimes, and we do peer-taught lessons, so we were encouraged to use technology during those for activities. However, their technology isn't the complete class. And I've taken a few online classes through Apex and iSchool, and I didn't have the best experience with them. With the Apex classes, it was kind of nice for me because I was in a classroom with other students taking online classes, and there was a teacher in the room who was there and willing to help us with whatever we needed help with for the Apex classes. However, with iSchool, because I wasn't in a room with the teacher, I didn't have a great experience, and I feel that I could have gotten much more out of the class if there had been an actual teacher present. Thank you.
May I ask you a question? I'd like to ask you, were any of the classes you took two-way virtual where you actually, it was live interaction with another, with other people in another classroom or a teacher?
No, they were not.
Okay, that is a different experience. And yeah. And we did hear testimony, so you know, we had a student, I believe it was early last week, who has participated in a two-way virtual who said she forgets she's not in a live classroom, and she does feel that human connection that you mentioned is important. So thank you very much for that, and we appreciate your testimony. We also have Dean Mitchell, or is it? I'm not sure if I have the spelling correct. If I mispronounce your name, you can straighten me out when you give your name and your consumer role, please.
Good morning, Senator Hughes. My name is Dina Mitchell, and I appreciate the time to testify this morning and the work that you all have put in this. I am a member of Great Alaska Schools, but I'm not speaking on behalf of Great Alaska Schools. This is a super, super exciting opportunity, and particularly for any classroom. As my daughter just said, it really provides the opportunity, and the student who talked, or the mother who talked about the connection with the student in Yemen, the opportunities that this opens up are absolutely incredible and provide so much richness and provide so much enhancement to the learning. But I definitely do not see this as replacing a teacher. Those connections, you know, as you said, a virtual classroom, if it's two-way, can work as long as we don't have these technology glitches. We saw today, I think, how that can be a little frustrating and really slow things down, and you can lose momentum. When I was in grade school, I was at a lab school, and we had a math class that was offered. It wouldn't have been offered otherwise. We wore these headsets, and the teacher was up on a screen in a place about 30 miles away. It allowed us to have another class that wouldn't have been offered at our school. But the teacher was there. We could see him. He could hear us. And so basically it was like an ersatz class. Out of my three children, all of whom have done the Apex iSchool types of things, those have been, for my children, not good. I definitely think that in the smaller communities, which is such a big challenge here in Alaska, this could be just a real game changer. But again, the issue with the technology is huge. And I know that having been up to Kotzebue and to see the connectivity issues up there, it's challenging. So I think we really need to support broadband and the technology in those communities so that they can make this work effectively. And again, you know, certainly we wouldn't want to see funding taken away from our mainstream education. Hopefully this will be an enhancement and on top of what we're already doing in our schools. So, and there, you know, I know some of the libraries have the OWL technology. Maybe there's a way to tie in with that, in particularly in some of the rural communities. And obviously, you know, a lot of the benefits of more traditional school programs of moving at your own pace. But again, child development, all those things, those connections to teachers and adults are so critical for our students. And I think we can all think back to those teachers who made such an impact on us because of those connections we had. So again, thank you for exploring different options and different ways to enhance our students' learning. It's just, it's very exciting if it's used in the right way. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And I have Elise Galvin. I don't believe she is in the room. She, okay, then we will move on to Judy Elledge in the room.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Judy Elledge, and I'm going to bring a little different perspective to the testimony this morning. I have been in education in both rural and urban since 1981. I taught 16 years in the Anchor School District in the ABC program. I went to Barrow, was a principal there. I ended my career in the Copper River School District as a principal, and I'd like to say the Commissioner of Education currently was taught fourth grade for me. So I've always thought, I remind him that. But I also, after I retired, I was called back by Commissioner Sampson to work as one of the original seven technical coaches for the state of Alaska on the audits in the low-performing schools. I worked for them for 3 years, and in the last 7 years, I have worked for districts on contract. I do turnaround schools. My specialty is in reading, and I've been in the Yukon Flats School District. First in Fort Yukon and now this year in Venati. And I just want to state that education is no longer a one-room schoolhouse like many of us watched on Little House on the Prairie, but we expect it to be. Knowledge alone has quadrupled since then, yet many of our schools in Alaska are either K-12 schools or a combination of grades K-1, 2, 3 through 5, and then a high school. I don't know how many of you have ever taught a kindergarten classroom, but I assure you there's a big difference between kindergarten and second grade. And yet we expect a teacher to teach all of the curriculum in all three of those classrooms. It's virtually impossible. I have not found yet a classroom, a virtual classroom, that can teach K-2 reading. Yet it's one of the most important things we teach. In all of these schools, they hire high school teachers because they have to be qualified in the subjects they teach. Yet, no one is left to teach the kindergarten, first, second, or third graders how to read. Oftentimes, you cannot expect a high school teacher that's never had a reading class to teach reading, even though there's programs out there. And so part of our problem with low performance in the schools in Alaska is the fact that we don't have certified, qualified elementary teachers in many of our schools. And so we pass those children up. They're left with sometimes, you know, when the teacher can do that, and then, or they're left with an aide that is not trained in reading to teach. And so it's a major problem. One of the reasons that I like the virtual schools that I see in all of my years and working in these K-12 schools is the fact that it unties that teacher, that is that high school teacher. It can be monitored, the classroom, for a period of time. That virtual classroom can be monitored by an instructional aide while she teaches the reading with help of how you might teach it. And so I see it as a way to really increase and help us teach the younger kids, and I think we overlook that. In virtual classrooms, unties that K-12 teacher. There's absolutely, I'm sorry folks, it's really difficult to teach kindergarten through 12th grade in today's world. I don't think you realize really what you're asking people to do. And so to me, this gives them a way to take care of the high school students and the junior high and even third grade on up, while they can go down and maybe spend that 90-minute reading block in the morning on reading. So, and I have seen that done, and I think it's something that is going to open up a lot of doors in our many rural bush schools, and it's a major problem, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you, Ms. Elledge, for that perspective. It's one we hadn't thought about, and And I have just recently learned in K-12 schools, just as she mentioned, the teacher must have a secondary certification, and yet they have the responsibility of those lower grades. So that's a very excellent point. Appreciate that very much. Senator Stevens.
Do we have time for questions, or are you rushed to get...
Is there anyone else in the room who wanted to testify? No, Judy is our last one, so fire away.
I would like to ask Judy a question. Mm-hmm. As I've been listening to all this, I'm really impressed with what the high-achieving student can do and what the motivated student can do, the A student, the B student. But it does worry me about the C and D student. We have kids dropping out of high school. We have a terrible problem in this state. We have kids that go to the first year of college, second year of college, they drop out. How does virtual education fit with the less achieving student? And that's a large part of our population, half of them, I suppose,
yes.
Right?
Yes, 75% of the students in the state of Alaska don't go to further education. So I'm glad you asked that question, because oftentimes we do, and we hear testimony, it is from our high achieving students. And my thing is the reason they're not going to get through school and they're going to drop out, if you can't read, you're not going to continue to go somewhere, are you? And continue to go to school and do something you cannot do. I see this not only, and I also, the virtual classrooms, it does allow these K-12 schools to have another option. They're very limited on what the children can even take. So in order to even keep a kid in school that may like art or something like that that is not offered, this does give them that opportunity. But I see it as a way, if it's done correctly, if it was done, and you really do have to think about it. I see districts that adopt things and there's no teaching. This takes a lot of training. Virtual classroom, that teacher needs to be prepared on what's going on and help with that. I agree. But what it does, it allows, maybe while that high school child is doing that, that teacher then could be pulling that student that is struggling and work with them. And that is what I see over and over again, that teachers don't have time to do. The research clearly says that if a child is not grade level, you should target the instruction for 30 minutes a day. Well, I'm sorry, in a K-12 school, there is not 30 minutes a day. Oftentimes, the K-12 teachers happen to be the principal also. They're the lead teacher and principal. So anything that has happened is going on. And so to me, this allows the high school student that maybe is not, a lot of the virtual classrooms, you put them on their level. There's a lot of things that, in other words, they can work on their level if it's not. So it's oftentimes leveled. I believe that's the way it is like in Copper Center. So a student that needs the remedial immediately can go back and get the remedial help. From what I've seen in Ingenuity, that's how they do it. If they need the help, they get it immediately. And so, to me, it just gives that teacher more time to work with the student that is failing and then go down and work in the elementary grades, which is usually left in the K-12, sorry to say, with the person that hasn't been trained to be a teacher, because they just can't do it any other way. And that's an issue that I've seen in my many years and wish it would. There's other things I wish would happen, like you don't have a school if you don't have an elementary and high school teacher, but that would be funding, and we're not supposed to talk about that. So this is second best. I do believe this would be so helpful, but it's going to require more than just saying we're going to virtual classrooms. There's going to have to be a lot of thought put into it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would just comment, if I may, Senator Stevens, my observation I would add to what Judy is saying is the low-achieving students, that is really what we are focused on. And mm-hmm. by giving them access to inspirational great mm-hmm. teachers that they may not have otherwise,
right.
giving them course options, as she mentioned, they might have an area of interest that's not offered in the school, can really motivate them to be involved. So I believe that if it's done properly, we also learned from Tim Shumway at the Copper River Schools, that he can see on screen where the learning gaps are immediately and intervene. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to wait till the following day when he gives a quiz and see that they missed many components of what he was teaching the day before. So I do think that this has great potential for low-achieving students. And really, that's what it's all about, and that's why we're exploring this, because we aren't doing the best we can right now across the state. There are some great teachers, and there's some real pockets of success. But if we look at our overall scores, we aren't doing the best we can. And so that's why we're looking at this, and it's exciting to hear from the students, their experience, and they see the benefit. And so with that, we will be looking at it further. And in fact, I will mention Senator Coghill has a comment, but our next...
I was just making sure that you got her because I saw her.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Senator Giesel has a question. I will just mention it to tag on to what you said about it's really important that the teachers and the administrators know how to teach in a virtual classroom. You can't just say, okay, we're going to do it and expect it to be successful. Yes. There's preparation, and we are going to be looking at that. That's going to be the focus of our meeting on Monday. So just that's a heads up. So Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually didn't have a question. I perceived that you were about to close the meeting, and I just wanted to thank you because this series of meetings have been so enlightening. You have highlighted the fact that education has changed.
It has changed.
And you've offered us the opportunity to change our thinking about how education is delivered, and I just really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Thank you, Judy. Uh-huh. And it's been a good meeting. And with that, as I said, Monday we'll learn more about the preparation needed if a district wanted to go that route. We will have some discussion about what it takes to teach in a virtual classroom as opposed to a brick-and-mortar classroom and what we might need to have districts do if they're going to move this direction. So with that, at 9:22, I will adjourn the meeting.